Hi, welcome back to another episode of You, the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You, the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. I'm so excited to be talking about mastering breastfeeding fundamentals with my guest, Amy Tanzillo. Amy is a breastfeeding expert who helps expectant and new moms feel knowledgeable and empowered during the early months of breastfeeding. For well over a decade, she's worked with thousands of clients through her lactation support packages, so moms start off motherhood with a level of calm and confidence to best nurture their baby. Amy offers comprehensive support with in-home visits and follow-up access to address each new twist and turn of breastfeeding, including low milk supply, painful latching, mastitis, overactive letdown, nursing multiples, clogged ducts, breast pump flange fittings, stockpiling milk, oversupply, as well as navigating the emotional aspects of being a new mom. Amy is passionate about ensuring moms have the best start to motherhood by having the information and support they deserve. And we talk all about it in this episode. You can find Amy over on her website, thrivebreastfeeding.com. You can also find her on Instagram at thrivebreastfeeding. And she has 6 freebies, which I will be linking in the description of this podcast. I hope that you enjoy this episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me. And I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Amy, welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you're here joining us today to chat all things breastfeeding related. And I was just saying off air that I wish I would have done this episode when I was actually breastfeeding my own children, because breastfeeding is hard. Every baby is different. I had 4 of them and every experience was different. So I wish I would have had you to pick your brain back then, but I'm so excited to be sharing you with my guests today. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you, Abby. I'm excited to be here. Again, my name is Amy Tanzillo. I am founder and owner of Thrive Breastfeeding, a service that I provide that exclusively does in-home visits throughout the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia and Maryland, helping mamas and babies with everything breastfeeding.
Perfect. I just got home from Maryland. I flew through D.C. and I'm like still recovering, I think. Yeah. Like still tired.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful part of the country over there.
Yeah.
So Amy, I guess like let's kind of dive in and talk about all things breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And maybe let's kind of start like at the beginning where, okay, you've been handed this beautiful baby. Maybe it's mm-hmm. your first one. Maybe it's your fourth one. Every time I feel like you get handed this baby, you're like, what the heck am I doing? Yes. I have no idea, right? And breastfeeding can feel really overwhelming, challenging. It can also be this beautiful connecting time. Mm-hmm. But if that's not the experience of women, you're not alone. But I guess like, let's kind of start with like maybe latching and some of these first kind of experiences with breastfeeding. What can we do to make this transition into this journey a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point about being handed this baby. And up until that point, we typically focus so much on like this gorgeous nursery and this Pinterest looking changing table with all their little clothes perfectly organized and the beautiful stroller, and thinking about all these things except breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Most moms plan to breastfeed and want to have a successful relationship with the breastfeeding relationship, but really don't take the time, or it doesn't occur to them to really prepare for breastfeeding. It's just, it's a very natural thing, but it's not so intuitive. So to best set yourself up to success, what most of my clients do is actually reach out to me before the baby is born. So I'm on standby, I'm in the wings, even throughout their hospital stay, they can be in constant contact with me. And I think that initial latch is one of the first hurdles that that we'll address. One of my soapboxes is breastfeeding should not hurt. It's not something where your nipples need to get used to it or toughen up over time. The nipple should land in a place where your nip the nipple should land in the baby's mouth where it's protected and not actually causing like nipple damage. And if your nipples are cracked and bleeding, that's just not part of the ramp up process.
So if we are experiencing that where it hurts, maybe
Yes.
we have the cracked bleeding nipples. I've been there. I
Yeah.
guess what are some things that we can do to prevent that or make sure that isn't happening?
Yeah, it's so much around the positioning of the baby and how that you're putting them on. And I actually on my website have a guide of how to master pain-free latch that really walks you through that steps where again, I don't think that it's natural how you hold this ragdoll like baby with no head and neck control. And before I did my IBCLC certification, and what I did with my kids is I just put them up to the nipple, and I would think that they just suck the milk out. And that's not the way that it works. You have to put them up here at breast height, really high, a lot higher than most moms start out doing. And you're holding them really in your forearm with your thumb and ring finger behind their ear so you can bring the baby to breast. And I think another thing that's missing initially that can make a huge impact is holding the breast that they're going on. Like if you just let them help themselves, they're going to slurp that nipple through the past the hard palate like a piece of linguine, and that's what caused that initial damage. So a lot of it is just technique of how to put them on and not powering through it. And not, it's okay, he needs to eat, and I want to do this, and I don't want to give up, and just kind of powering through it because that nipple tissue is so delicate, it can deteriorate very, very quickly.
Amy, I feel like I can't even remember. So my oldest is 13 and then my youngest is 3. So I have
Wow,
four
yeah.
kids in like a 10-year span, right? My last three were 3 and 3 years. I don't remember with my 13-year-old if there was a lactation consultant that came into the room to help me at all or if it was just a nurse. I know like now it's more commonplace that there are lactation consultants in the hospital. They do kind of make their rounds. But I don't remember them ever like teaching me proper latch. I think that they were just coming in like, "Hey, you're breastfeeding, right? Make sure that baby's on there. Have you put the baby to the breast in so many hours? You need to get them up and eat. You need to unwrap them and stimulate them and make sure that they're eating." Is that like what you're seeing?
Yes, and that's a great point that you're bringing up. I actually did my clinical hours at a local hospital here and worked on the floor. And I have so much love and respect for the lactation consultants in the hospital, but there's just not the time. And not only is there not the time to spend with you, but I have to time it when you're about to feed your son. And if he just ate, and then I have to go to the next room and the next room and the next
So
room,
true.
it's really hard to come back around right when you need my help. If the baby was circumcised, they are out cold for about 12 hours. They basically just shut down. So that's all that missed time to practice. And there's just not a whole lot going on in terms of really assessing the breastfeeding because your milk is not even in yet. And most moms are going home with their milk not even in. So it's just really like a quick in and out, kind of like what you said, a little bit of checking the box, making sure the baby's having the diapers and that you're okay. And very, very different than like ongoing support and addressing each new thing that comes up beyond even just the initial latch.
So it's really important to be getting
Yes.
extra support.
Yes.
Thank you kind of for shedding light on some of the challenges and barriers of like
Yes.
the hospital lactation consultants. I think absolutely, I can't even imagine. Okay, so let's say we have been handed this brand new baby. Maybe we're latching good. We've, started our breastfeeding journey. How do we make sure that this breastfeeding journey remains pain-free? Because there's lots of challenges and hurdles that many of us go through, the mastitis, the clogged ducts. How do we, I guess, like prevent some of those things from happening or manage them when they do?
So let's take mastitis. That's a great example, and it is painful. So
Oh
that
my
definitely
gosh,
falls
the
within
worst.
that category. Awful, right? And
The
talk
first
about.
time, the first time I got mastitis, my husband was traveling for work. So I'm home alone with this brand new baby, and it's
Oh.
like the flu, right? Like
Yeah.
you get a fever, your boob hurts so bad, your like body aches, and I'm like caring for this new baby. I don't even like want to drive to get the medicine. It was
Talk
a
about getting
nightmare.
kicked when you're down, right?
I'm
Kicked
like,
when
can
you are
you
down.
note to self, you are not
Yeah.
traveling during any of
Yeah.
my postpartums anymore.
Yes. Yes. No, it's brutal. And you're trying to recover from everything that happens to you with birth and then put the flu on top of it.
It's really rough.
Yeah, it is rough. So one of the most common ways that you can kind of make yourself vulnerable to mastitis is out of the gates unnecessarily pumping. There is this surge. I'm seeing it more and more where Instagram is romanticizing this stockpiling. So many in so many feeds where they have the freezer just stacked. And not only does it give mom a complex if she's not making all this extra milk, but it's really then set you on a path of pumping unnecessarily. So, for example, I saw a mama yesterday. Her baby was in the NICU. So, it was the right call to start pumping. She wasn't able to put baby to breast. He was initially on a feeding tube and then eventually went to bottles. But she needed to pump to initiate the supply and then protect the supply. But that little guy needed about 2 ounces every 3 hours. You know, you bring a baby to breast every 2.5 to 3 hours. So for her to protect her supply, the recommendation would be to stay on kind of that cadence with that amount. She was pumping 6 ounces every 3 hours. So she was making enough for triplets. And you keep pumping because you're so engorged and you want the relief. So you drain your breast. So it's like, oh, thank goodness. And then they fill right back up again. And it's this snowball effect where you're making more and more milk. And when the milk is sitting there and your breasts are rock hard and it's not continuously flowing, you're setting yourself up for a breast infection. Do you remember how yours happened to you? Was it
Mine
a
was not pumping, so it was like early on, and I have a very like hate relationship with the pump.
Yes.
Like I quit
Yeah.
my job after when I was expecting baby number three
Yeah.
because I had to pump so much with my second child. I was working full time and in grad school. So I was just gone from her
Yeah.
for so much that I felt like I was just pumping to like keep up. And I just like hated it. I hated being away from her. I
Yep.
definitely had like some undiagnosed like postpartum anxiety or
Sure.
depression stuff going on. And so like just like even the sound of the pump, I was like, I
Yeah.
have to quit my job because I am exclusively breastfeeding.
Yes.
But I didn't start pumping because I feel like whoever was like guiding me at that time was telling me not to pump until baby was like a certain week old to make sure that you're like establishing milk supply first.
Excellent recommendation.
But I probably was just like engorged. Like it probably was just milk sitting and causing infection.
Yes, and it's tricky because your breasts are so full, and maybe you have a baby that has elevated bilirubin, right? If they have a little bit of jaundice, it makes them super sleepy, so they're not really effective at the breast, and then they're not taking that edge off. And what I say, you have to constantly be at least bleeding the pipe, right? And if that milk then is sitting there, just like in your sinuses, when there's fluid in there that sits, it gets a sinus infection. It's the same with your milk ducts. And that goes right hand in hand with clogged ducts. It's that not draining. You get literally get a backup. And then it leads to something terrible that you have to deal with and possibly start antibiotics and you don't you could it jeopardizes the supply on that side, and it's just something that you don't want to deal with ever, really, but especially as a brand new mom and feeling banged up in other ways.
It is not fun. Definitely try
No.
and avoid the clogged duct,
Yeah.
mastitis. Oh my gosh, it is a
Yeah.
whole ordeal. And then, like, kind of on the topic of maintaining healthy milk supplies, and you've kind of touched on don't be overdoing it with some of the pumping. And I love that, like, you brought that up of I love social media so much, and especially, like, kind of going back to my span of 10-year children. When I had my oldest, who's now 13, there wasn't all this stuff online. Right. There wasn't parenting gurus on Instagram. Like, it was just for sharing pictures with your friends. There wasn't Facebook groups. So there was no mom groups, no pumping groups, no breastfeeding groups. Right. There wasn't TikTok. And so while I've, like, watched, I guess, you know, the evolution of this stuff happen, and I see all the good in it. Right. Like, I wish I did have some of those resources back then. But you do have to be so mindful about what you're consuming and that it is for good and that you aren't falling into some of this comparison trap stuff. Because I think at different points of my journey, especially with my older two that I wasn't plugged in on the social media for, I would have definitely fallen into some of that comparison trap of not feeling enough, feeling like my milk supply isn't enough, when I don't think that that was true. Like, I think I was maintaining a healthy supply for them. I just didn't have these stockpiles. And, you know, I think, like, that would have really messed with me at in those, like, vulnerable times, right?
No, absolutely. And you hear all this chatter. And then another thing with the social media trap is also a lot of conflicting advice where, you know, one post says to do this, to not pump. The other one says you should start pumping immediately. And it gets very confusing and overwhelming, which makes you frustrated. So I always recommend get one quarterback, one designated expert that you ask, because your cousin's going to say one thing, your colleague at work is going to say another thing, your mother-in-law may weigh in with other advice. Oh, I never did that. He was fine on this or that. And it's just very overwhelming and confusing. And I think that there's just so much value in having your person. But going back to maintaining the supply, the motto is you have to move milk to make milk. So initially, your baby's eating about every 3 hours. Someone, that baby, or something, the pump, has to be moving milk. And that's how you maintain a supply. You move milk to make milk.
Is there stuff with our diets that we can be doing to increase supply if we're experiencing a dip? Is there reasons why there are, you know, sometimes, like, dips in our supply where we're noticing, hey, I was pumping and getting this amount, and now I'm pumping and not getting that amount. I got to go back to work and I'm stressing out, right?
So with the diet, I think you eat to hunger, and you do need 300 extra calories a day when you're breastfeeding a baby, and you drink to thirst. But there's so much marketing out there with lactation cookies and magic supplements and drinks, and it all goes back to moving milk. So if mom is sleeping, you know, which that's entirely, I always say I'm going to support whatever you want to do, but it's really important to be educated before you make these decisions. And if you sleep from midnight to 6 a.m. and let somebody else do the bottles, it's okay, but know you're going to jeopardize your supply. And it doesn't happen the next day, but over time, little by little, your brain gets the memo to make less. So the best way to have a healthy supply is to consistently move the milk. Things that could unintentionally jeopardize your supply are things like decongestants. Anything that dries you up here is going to dry you up here. So I've had moms who unknowingly took Sudafed and saw a dip in their supply. Starting birth control. Maybe at 3 months, they decided to go on either even the low dose, the shot or the patch, or, you know, the OBGYN will assure them that it's okay. It's just the estrogen. And I still see an impact on supply. And then what's nice, I recently had a client where then she went off of it and the supply was, she was able to rally. And then in that same bucket with the hormone things, if you start menstruating again, if you get your period again, you'll see a dip in your supply.
I've definitely seen that with myself as well.
Yes.
And those things are a challenge. And then we get all stressed out. And then we're like, all the things
that doesn't
we
help.
Should be doing, right?
I know.
It's just like so much pressure sometimes. Yes. And I guess like to kind of go along with that is maintaining like pumping schedules or feeding schedules. And I feel like that's another one that you can see lots of different advice or schedules on the internet that like you should be doing this and you should be power pumping and you should be this, right? Is there a schedule that does help promote this healthy supply?
So it's so much on a case-by-case basis. Yeah. So if your baby is back up to birth weight at day 14 and gaining well over an ounce a day or around an ounce a day, you will have the leeway or the green light to really nurse them when they wake up and show hunger cues. So if you have a really, I'm going to say my 10-pound baby, right, who has the capacity to maybe take 3 ounces at a feed versus my little tiny 5-pounder who could only take 2 ounces at the feed, your duration in between the feeding sessions are going to be different. So that would be an example where you're just feeding or pumping when the baby wakes. Mm-hmm. And if the baby is getting a bottle, always, you would need to remove the milk from you. And it doesn't have to be at that exact moment. If you're out with your girlfriends and your mom is at home and she gives the baby a bottle, it's not like you have to time it. But if she gives the baby, this is in theory, about 3 ounces of milk, then you should be whole by pumping about 3 ounces of milk while you're away from the baby. You have a situation where baby's not gaining well, you know, at a month old and still trying to reach that back up to birth weight, then you're probably pumping every 3 hours in addition possibly to nursing. Yeah. And that's where that triple feeding is, which is such a laborious plan. And I don't like it for more than just a couple weeks to see where we are and to, you know, even just collect some information of what's going on with your supply and the baby's efficiency to pull milk from you. But if that little guy needs 2 ounces and he can only get an ounce from the breast, we got to make up that delta. Yeah. So ideally, you would pump and have what he needs. If you don't, then it's a supply issue. And doing that exercise can determine, is it you or is it him?
Yeah.
Or is it a combo of the two? It's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg, but we put this plan in place and then we can bring everybody back up to, you know, healthy waking and mom a healthy supply and go from there. So when to pump or when to feed can certainly vary. But when you have a newborn, it's every 2.5 to 3 hours until they're back up to birth weight, which is typically at day 14 is what we're striving for.
Yeah. Amy, do you work with women who do struggle with postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, and maybe have to stop breastfeeding?
Yes, I actually am in the process of getting a certification in maternal mental health because it's such a big part of the support that I offer. What I love so much about how just my business has evolved is I have ongoing visits with these mamas. It's very, very rarely like a one and done. I'm going weekly and assessing different things. And it may be, you know, introducing a bottle or talking about the pumping schedule to stockpile, but it always involves how they're doing. And it's huge. And it's a huge gap, I think, in the postpartum space. Yep. That especially in our country, I will see families with other cultures. DC is so diverse, which is so awesome, right? And I'll go into these families where they're from another country and you just have like this tribe around them. The mother and father flew in, the other mother and father flew in, and everybody is like falling over themselves to cook and clean and help with the mom. And that is very, very rare. Mm-hmm. So the mom's doing it all and can feel very isolated. And of course, there's a physical, physiological thing going on with the hormones. And it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And even small factors, like I swear in this area, it's so expensive to live here that many, many of my clients are in townhomes.
Yeah.
And I swear because the sides do not have windows, these homes are just darker.
Yeah.
than if you were in a single family home with light coming all the way around. So I literally write it on their care plan. They have to get out every single day. Yeah. You have to get out in the fresh air and in the sunlight. And if you're still healing postpartum and you can't walk very well or don't want to have movement involved, sit on your stoop, sit on your porch, your back deck, take your coffee out there. Right. But it's so big. And looping in therapists and offering that support, again, is a huge part of the entire holistic support that's offered.
Yeah, that's so important. That's really important work that you're doing, because this is just like such a fragile time for women.
Fragile.
So fragile. Yes. And it can be dangerous if we're not getting the support that we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
and it's so rewarding, it's just a great skill to be able to pick up on that, mm-hmm. right? All right, let's put aside the breastfeeding for a second. How are you doing? When is the last time you've been outside?
I know. I think that I have three babies who were fall and winter babies, and I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. And surprisingly, my November baby was my hardest postpartum. And I feel because here in Cincinnati, all the leaves fall and it just turns gray. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen the sun in months.
Right. You know? Not even a pretty snowstorm.
Yeah. It's just
ugly.
Right.
Nothing.
I do have all these windows in my home and I can see outside, but it was just oh my gosh. And I was working full time at that time. So all my friends were working full time. So I felt like for 8 hours a day while my husband left to go to work, I was just here by myself with this baby
in this gray house.
And I was I'm literally was not well, right? I definitely had some undiagnosed something. But I don't feel like anybody caught on or knew to ask, hey, how are you doing? I was not okay.
Yeah. No. And it's really, I think if it's posed the right way, moms share. Yeah.
Right.
You know, when you actually ask them.
And I needed somebody to ask, really.
To ask you, look there and then see what's going on. I love this story of a mama I had in D.C. And, this 1910 home was teeny tiny. And you walked in the door and you went straight up to the nursery. There was just two bedrooms upstairs. That's it. And they had the whole bottom downstairs barricaded off because they had this big, beautiful Rottweiler, and they just weren't comfortable, integrating the baby with the dog. Yeah. So the downstairs was really essentially set up like a big crate, and mom was upstairs, and I was there for a second visit, and we did all the test way and the latch and assessing how the supply was going. But I asked her, when have you been out of this room?
Yeah.
And she started to tear up and she said, Amy, when I was pregnant, I would come and sit in this rocking chair and just imagine what it would like to be a mom. And I thought it was so cute the way that we had it decorated. And I now hate this room. Yeah. I hate to come in here. Yeah. So what a lactation consultant can do for you, which is so wonderful, is I have a huge database of all these people that have little babies, right?
And you need those people. That's what I did with baby number three. She came in January, and I did not go through any of that because I found the people.
Yeah. You find your people. Yeah. So I found another mom whose baby was about the same age as hers. She was 0.9 miles away because this is a huge sprawling area. And if you're in Northern Virginia and you're over there in Maryland, we're not going to get together. Right. So I matched her up with a mom who had a baby the same age who was 0.9. They immediately met for coffee. They walked for 2 hours. They connected. And they're friends now. And it really, really helped the isolated I'm going to say depressed mom.
Yep. Yep.
And got her out of the house.
Yeah. Those kind of things saved my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Invaluable. Gold.
Those things are the most important part of your postpartum period is support, support, support. Whether it's plugging into friends, plugging into the groups, plugging into the supports like Amy, the lactation consultants, the doulas, whoever you are finding to make up your support network, do it. Do it.
And it may not be someone that you would typically click with or seek out at an exercise class. But when you're in those trenches, just the sheer fact that you're going through it together or, oh, your nipples were bleeding, or you had a third degree tear, or, you know, you bond on just these things that are kind of make everything else irrelevant.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy, thank you so much for joining me and having this conversation. This is a really important topic, and the work that you are doing is powerful and important and much
thank
needed.
You.
So thank you for doing that. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yes, on Instagram at Thrive Breastfeeding, at Thrive Breastfeeding, and my website is thrivebreastfeeding.com. And right on the homepage, if you want to download, there's a free How to Master a Pain-Free Latch guide.
Perfect. I will be linking all of that in the description of this podcast, so go make sure that you check out Amy's guide and give her a follow over on Instagram. Amy, thank you again for joining me and helping me.
Thank you, Abby.
You, the mother.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.